to the 149th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome, and thanks for listening. Today, on site at the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Studio, we have Addie Delaney Meinerich. She's down here visiting, but mainly to work. She helped me prepare for the Southwest Florida Veg Fest, and we also did some work on our upcoming third annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. So welcome home, Addie.
Thank you. It's been a great week in sunny Florida and very excited to get going on this conference. Only a couple months left. You may have gotten an email about our page with all information about the conference and links to register for tickets. So go check it out.
Yeah, so the link is actually on the website now under Third Annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Foodie on the first, Third Annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. And there's a link right there to click to go to Eventbrite to get your tickets. We have a change. Dr. Campbell is unable to join us, but we were most fortunate and very excited to now have Dr. Doug Lyle, famous for being one of the co-authors of The Pleasure Trap, to be coming to speak with us. So that's going to be a great day. As many of us, you know, it's difficulty making that transition to plant-based nutrition. And sometimes we think we're the only ones that have problems or issues with cravings. And Dr. Lyle is going to really do an in-depth discussion on, you know, why we have some stumbling blocks. So I can't wait to have him. And of course, Addie, you'll be speaking, and I'll be speaking, and Timmarie Hagenberger from the nutrition professor at Consumnes College will be speaking. So we'll have a great day. It's always positive. We're going to have a cooking demonstration with you too, and lots
of
questions.
Good food.
Yeah, and the questions and answer sessions. It'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be a variety of topics covered. I think it'll be an educational day, but also an empowering day to be surrounded by like-minded people, people you can connect with who are wherever you are in your own journey, and just come out with that positive mindset to reach that optimal health and wellness goal that you have for yourself.
Great. So Sunday was the Veg Fest, and you know, it never rains in the winter in Florida, and it hadn't been raining for several months, and of course it was scheduled for 100% chance of rain on Sunday, so everybody's watching the forecast, and we have a new tent with our heartbeats on plants, and we were all excited and all worried about having the tent blow away and being rained out and being soggy. And as everything else works out for a reason and works out well, we didn't have a drop of rain on Sunday, so that was great. A little bit windy, but we did good at securing our tent.
Yeah, got everybody all aired out.
Yeah. And so we did samples of my raw granola. And I, you know, people, you know, my raw granola is made with nuts and seeds, and, you know, that can be very high in calories, but I don't use the granola as a bowl of granola with a couple berries on top. I do the granola with a big bowl of fruit with some granola sprinkled on top, so I get my crunch factor. So we'll always also obviously list the recipe for the granola in the web pages, but, or on the website, but it was a great way to sample for people at the Veg Fest, because everybody is used to granola containing a lot of oil, so a lot of people stay away from it
and
added sugar. And so this granola actually just used strawberries, fresh strawberries, and apples as a source of the fruit juice to kind of hold it to stick together. So people were quite surprised that how good it tasted. It was sweet and gave you the crunch without all the extra additives. So we saw a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think they reported there were about 10 to 15,000 people that came through the Veg Fest, and it was in Bonita Springs, held at Riverside Park.
Beautiful location,
and you know, it was extremely well organized.
Oh yeah, definitely a great venue. The way they set up the stretch of vendors, everybody could just walk around and find what they wanted, and maybe a little surprise here and there, and what they weren't expecting to find at a Veg Fest.
Yeah, they had speakers from kind of all walks, you know, animal activists, environmentalists, nutritionists, chefs. So it was a great venue of speakers. And they had suggested to people that had a booth that they minimize as much as possible sugar, oil, and salt. And there was pretty good compliance. You know, sometimes you go to a veg fest and, you know, it's kind of like carnival food. That's, you know, a bunch of greasy stuff all over the place. But there was quite a variety of good, wholesome food there. So anybody could have a choice. You know, when people came by the booth, that we talked to a lot of people, and it was quite fun. It was kind of a steady stream through our tent. But the protein, you know, when you look around to different booths, protein was still a big issue as far as, you know, plant-based nutrition.
Especially in terms of the supplement promoters, you know, really playing to the media's, you know, suggestions or fears that they instill on where us plant-based eaters will be getting our protein, and really kind of capitalizing on that. And they weren't really from the natural sources. They were a little bit more on the processed side. So that was, you know, a bit concerning, the message being spread on that point.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch, because it seemed to be a lot of young people that, you know, was built towards them to, you know, build your muscle. They had some pretty big burly guys in some of the booths. You know, you have to get your protein someplace and to build muscle. So that was, you know, a little bit disappointing, but,
On a positive note too, they were also noting that, you know, you can do it plant-based. There are plenty of plant-based sources of protein. The only thing I would just switch a little bit over would be, you know, get them from your natural whole food sources rather than the processed bars and powders and things of that nature, you know, unless they're recommended for certain reasons. But, you know, for the general healthy population, you know, you shouldn't be really needing to supplement a whole lot.
No, and, you know, if you want to build muscle, exercise is the way to go. And when you exercise, you increase your appetite. And when you increase your caloric intake, you get your adequate protein needs.
Yes, all falls into place.
And there were, obviously, some of the transition foods, some faux meats and pastries. But, again, the positive side on that, you know, we knew of some people that came to VegFest for the first time. Mm-hmm. And
who are not necessarily even plant-based.
And a little skeptical of the whole thing. And so these transition foods can be helpful for people like that to realize that, you know, life doesn't end when you give up animal products. There was still a tremendous amount of variety of foods to eat. And, you know, if you have to do the transition, especially with kids, you know, if it's some of the transition foods, I think is a great thing, a tool to kind of get everybody over and
then slowly wean them out.
Yeah, you know, because I think once the message comes, and I think there was a lot of kids there, and the you know, every kid that
a
came.
A lot of kids trying all kinds of foods. Yeah. That was awesome to see.
I loved the little kids coming by our booth and loving the granola. You know, I mean, that was a lot of fun seeing them just crunch and thinking it was great. It was great. Forget about thinking it was great. But, you know, it's nice that they're learning about the benefits for our environment by eliminating factory farming and the benefits to the animals, you know, as well as the potential for their health and nutrition.
Yeah, a lot of kids, you know, have seen, you know, we had a couple people walk by who were parents and had transitioned to a plant-based lifestyle for their own personal health benefits. So I think it's also really amazing for children to see their parents become healthy through nutrition and really become empowered that way and grow up in a household that is, you know, health-based and promoting. So I think that was just a really cool perspective to get to witness.
Yep, and they had a kids zone. So, you know, exercise was, again, they had a big tug of war that we saw. And they actually had a ninja warrior there and talking to the kids. And they had some little gymnastic area set up. So it was, you know, well done.
Yeah, I think it was pretty well rounded at the whole wellness spectrum. So you had the nutrition side, but then they also, like you said, had a fitness zone and some areas where people were doing mobility and yoga booths and things like that. So it was just kind of great to promote that all-encompassing picture of health and wellness.
I guess the other big topic that came up as people came by our tent was oil. They couldn't, one, the granola back, they didn't realize that, when we said it was oil-free, they asked why we said it was oil-free. So most people think that, the olive oil, canola oil, coconut oils are something that are okay and needed.
Yeah, a big misconception was that all plant oils were rich omega-3 sources. That was a huge miscommunication, or misinformation rather. So that was interesting to hear, as well as, some older folks stating that they were told that they needed oil for joint lubrication in their diet, and that their arthritis would be kicking up if they, cut out the oils. So, and their mobility would be lacking. So that was another, misinformation that's been put out there.
And just like, we talk about animal protein and dairy being a source of inflammation, the omega-6s found in the oils are a big source of joint inflammation. These people are, the very thing that they're trying to avoid is actually causing things to get, to get worse. We get plenty of, there's plenty of fat in our diet, just eating natural sources of plants. The dry skin is, people need to be hydrated. And by hydrating, it's not an issue. And of course, we always promote at class, cooking with a little bit of water, and the vegetables generate their own broth, so that you don't even need to use vegetable broth, really just starting with water and letting the vegetables saute. They create their own juices.
Yeah, it really does not affect the taste at all, I noticed, because, when I originally went plant-based, I was still on the olive oil kick. But once I took the oil out of my diet, that was one, when I saw the biggest health benefits and weight loss come through. But in addition to that, I didn't really notice any kind of taste deprivation. If anything, the oil kind of took away from the natural flavors of the vegetables, and kind of gave them that, fatty, oily cover. So you can't get all that goodness in there if you cover it all with oil.
Everything starts to taste the same.
Yes.
People also were, we had a sign up advertising our third annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Conference, and it had our pictures with MD and RD, and a lot of people came by the tent actually looking for plant-based physicians and registered dietitians that were supportive, and they would ask the Veg Fest was about a little over an hour from where my practice is located. And people were, inquiring, are there any primary cares in their area, or, where were there? Some people are snowbirds here in Florida, so they came from Michigan or Pennsylvania or wherever. And, it is very difficult to find a practice that is supportive of plant-based nutrition. There are more and more, and, hopefully we met some plant-based physicians, so that was very exciting. But, they were happy to find out that our practice is unique, and that, plant-based, medicine, food, let food be thy medicine is kind of number one in our practice. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to get adequate, well-balanced nutrition to optimize your health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And we do it as a team. And, we're going to speak in West Virginia in the springtime at the American Dietetics Conference, but it is my belief that every medical office should include a registered dietitian to function as a team. Some doctors, I happen to enjoy cooking and I love teaching the nutrition classes, but some doctors would rather, stay more true to devoting their time to other education or treating illness as it arises. But treating illness with medicine, with food as medicine, that bond between a registered dietitian and MD is very important. Addie and I bounce things off of each other. We work with the patients. You know, the members define their goals for their optimal health and wellness, and often that is eliminating high blood pressure or diabetes or cholesterol. And we work together to get them started on their correct plant-based nutrition. And sometimes it can be a little bit challenging, as far as we have to be detectives and working together to help people find out what's their stumbling blocks. Mm-hmm. You do a unique questionnaire.
Yeah, you know, we go through definitely more of their lifestyle. I start off, I've probably touched a little bit on before, just diving into your wellness patterns, either now or what you would like them to be. And then we get really into the nutrition side. And, you know, there's a couple different routes we can take from there to see, you know, where you are at and where you would like to go. But yeah, I think that we do a good job of buddying up on that and being people's support systems, if anything. Just really, you know, showing that change is possible and made much easier if you have that support system. So, you know, sometimes we're pushing you along. Some days we're a little bit nicer cheerleaders for you. But I think it's great to be able to work with a physician who is so supportive of food as medicine, because it is the root of the problem. So, yeah.
Well, and, you know, what I have enjoyed most about the practice of medicine is, you know, having a unique bond with a patient, and, you know, they've learned about you or knew you as you've grown up when you were in the office, and I know about them and their family. And so it's a neat relationship that you develop with people, and, you know, to be available for them when they need it, and for them not to have to just be a number in the waiting room, I think is extremely important. You know, I value my time and I value other people's time. I remember my dad, your granddad, used to say he would go to a doctor's office and he's like, I'm going to be there 15 minutes early, and if they're not ready, then I'm leaving. And I say, Dad, you know, you have to at least wait to be on time. And he's like, well, my time is just as important as their time. And it's correct. Your time is just as important as the physician's time. And we really, you know, focus on, you know, your time being valuable. And we want you to have the best quality that you can. The other thing, you know, when people came by the tent, and I thought it was great. People would say, they just wouldn't take samples, you know, blindly. They'd say, what's in it? And, you know, we would tell them about the nuts and seeds and, you know, strawberries and apples that were in it. But people are becoming very well educated as far as potential allergies, additives. So I think that, you know, showed that, you know, people really do and are starting to want to know what's in their food. But I also, you know, some people are afraid of the nuts a little bit, you know, and seeds, because they are high in fat.
And, you know, touching on that, you know, we're not promoting them as just a snacking food. You know, omega-3 fatty acids are a necessity for life. So we kind of promote them as, you know, taking your daily dose of vitamins in a way, but we do it through food. So, you know, I always tell clients, you know, getting those omega-3s through some walnuts, then you take your dose and you're done for the day. So we're not really snacking on them, you know, and a healthy amount of nuts and seeds is fine. So like we touched on before, you know, the granola we were passing out isn't going to be your breakfast. It's not going to be, you know, the entirety of a meal, but rather a little garnish on top to add to a fruit bowl to give you a crunch. You know, to add to a piece of fruit as a, you know, a little snack. So I do think that it is great though that people are curious about what's in their food, and, you know, they're researching, they're hearing different tactics of this whole food plant-based eating and really trying to educate themselves.
And, you know, just to go over, you know, the great sources of omega-3s that we recommend, flaxseed grounds, ground flaxseeds, about a tablespoon a day so you can absorb them. Other options are hemp seeds or chia seeds, walnuts, and one that, as far as the bean that has the most omega-3s, is the pinto beans.
Ding, ding, ding. Have a winner.
Have a winner. So, you know, the people that live the longest in the blue zones, they like their beans. So, you know, go for some pinto beans. And You also can get, you know, your protein, your calcium, your omega-3. So it's
Your fiber.
And your fiber. It's all around good food.
Fiber is our friend.
You know, and as far as if you have someone that's a little bit on the skinny side, and they're trying to get more calories in, adding some hemp seeds to their cereals or even their milk, grinding them up in the milk for kids that are trying to, maybe you're a little on the scrawny side, is a good way to add nutrients.
Eaters.
Yeah, picky eaters. And it gives things a creamy taste. So if you haven't tried some hemp seeds, hauled hemp seeds, give them a try. They're very creamy. On the other hand, sometimes people think that, you know, peanut butter is this, you know, because it's vegan, it's the ultimate good lunch. And that can be a problem in some of the people we see because of the calorie density of things and the oil density of things.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you get into the dips, it can be a little bit dangerous, especially when you are dealing with either unhealthy eating habits. So, you know, overeating or, you know, eating out of boredom, you know, et cetera. But, you know, we kind of look at peanut butter and then some hummus as well, because once you have ground down the peanuts or ground down the beans, you have a much more calorically dense food that is much easier to eat than just sitting and chewing the actual food themselves. Kind of the idea behind the smoothies too. So, you know, it's one thing that you would need to proportion out. And then also looking at the ingredients. So, you know, we talk about everyone becoming aware of what they're eating. Looking at the ingredients on, you know, just for example, the peanut butters. I mean, even the Jif natural peanut butter, you know, you want to promote the natural form of peanut butter. It has palm oil in it and it has a lot of, you know, added salt. It's mostly oil. So you're kind of, you know, look at it that way. You're getting a little gypped by Jif a little bit there. But then, you know, trying to find those ones that have the limited ingredients, just like anything else. Things that you can identify and a short list.
So if you've not been to a Veg Fest and there's one in your area, you know, I would suggest, yes, you go. I've been to one in Tampa and one in Atlanta and then this one here in Southwest Florida. And
all a little different.
They're all a little different. And one was inside, one was outside, one was in a big park spread out, one was in a little park. But, you know, it's a positive atmosphere, you know, and something for everybody as far as kids and adults alike.
Yes, and I think it was great because it touched on, you know, a variety of topics for going plant-based.
Yeah, Jim Hicks was there, and he was speaking on the environment. And, you know, I think when people start to hear, and we actually start to see where our food comes from, and the thought of thousands of animals cramped in a, you know, muddy dirt lot and just, you know, treated so poorly. And then all the, you know, dealing with the excrements and, you know, the violence, but and then the destruction of our rainforest. And it makes you
know. And even quality of life of the workers who work in those factory farms and, you know, what their daily lives have to look like and the PTSD that is highly prevalent in, you know, workers who are in those factory farms.
Yeah, and as well as, you know, in the processing plants, there's a very high risk of substance abuse, suicide, and of course, injury because of what they have to undergo. And so that brings that to light in things like the Veg Fest. The sustainability, you know, often we're taught grass-fed this and grass-fed that. I cringe when somebody tells me about grass-fed butter. Because, you know, again, it wasn't a butter. It came from a cow. So it was a grass-fed cow, if anything. But the reality of it is that meaning is very loose as far as how much grass and grazing that animal did. And even if it was it grazing in its entire life, that's not sustainable for, you know, it's how we got into this mess in the first place, because our consumption of animals has increased as a population so much that we can't feed all the animals on grass and, you know, let them range over acres and acres. So it's not sustainable. It would take the entire United States just to have enough land to graze animals if we were to all, you know, try to eat grass-fed animals. So, you know, I think that's, you know, that oftentimes makes people feel good about their bad habits, is to say, well, I ate, you know, free range or grass-fed. animals.
Because it paints a pretty picture. But, you know, we've become so detached from the source of our food, and that's across the board from, you know, processed cereals and milks and meat, you know, it really, we've become detached on the whole, how it got to our plate. And I think that is the sticky area that might sometimes be uncomfortable to dive into, but necessary if you want to become educated and make the best choices for your health and the health of your family.
And, you know, even, you know, the animals are still, it's the animal protein that's very inflammatory and a source of saturated fats. And these omega-6 fatty acids, you know, are, when we talk about omega-3 to omega-6, you know, it used to be 1 to 1, 1 to, you know, 1 to 3. But now it can be 1 to 16 or
1 to 20 even. In some parts.
Yeah. And we just don't need all this inflammation that we're getting from animals. And, you know, when we talk about some, you know, it's in the news every other week with, you know, some of the foodborne illnesses that people are exposed to. You know, the beauty of eating plants is, you know, your kitchen is clean. You know, I know when my mom had cancer, that's really when we stopped animal products completely from coming into the house, even though they weren't initially plant-based. It was just me. Because of the worry of salmonella and E. coli and methicillin resistant staph, those are very, very prevalent in the meat that you get from your local grocery store. And so if you're immunodeficient, that's a big source of illness. And there's, you know, most GI, you know, gastroenteritises that occur are largely due to animal products and the bacteria associated with them.
Yes.
So if they're not there, you don't have to worry about it. And you can't see, you know, it's not like, you know, you can put a blue light out and see where these things are splashing on your kitchen. And when we just clean up real easy with the sponge, we just kind of spread it around. We don't kill it. So it's much easier just not to have it in your house to start with. The other, you know, a lot of animals, a lot of dogs. We saw a pig.
A pig was the highlight of my day.
Her name was Charlotte. She had a nice coat. We saw a snake. Girl was walking
not
around.
Not so much a highlight, but you know.
No, that was a little, I made sure that the little baby python was still around her when she went past it. I'm a little squeamish over snakes, but, you know.
She got a little clammy, folks, but you know, we kept her upright.
But, you know, I think that we forget where our food comes from, and we love our dogs and we love our cats, and some people love their snakes. But then we turn our backs on, you know, the gentle cows and farm pigs and chickens. So
I thought it was actually really cool because there was a lot of people there with their dogs, and they just had this pig on a leash. And for, you know, especially kids, as well as adults, to walk by and see pigs and dogs playing together and how, you know, kind of have them side by side, it gives you a little bit of a better perspective on, you know, what everyone's purpose is supposed to be.
Yeah, it was a nice day. You know, being out in the fresh air was, for the most part, it was a pretty blue sky day in Florida, even though they had forecasted 100% chance of rain. We have some windy clouds blow by, but it was really good. And it was such a positive environment, being in people, you know, mingling with the people in the tent next to you and sharing information. We had a lady with essential oils and soaps
yes.
next to us
yeah,
that were
stocked up on those homemade plant-based soaps, folks.
So that was great. You know, I mean, and when you think about it, you know, we forget about our skin and our ability to absorb chemicals in our skin.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of commercial soaps are harsh. We know that these antibacterial skins, you know, we can eliminate some of the good microbes that are, and really select out for bad microbes. And you know, just like the lady that thought she needed to eat more oil, by using some of these plant-based natural products, you're actually adding moisture to your skin. So the one next door, she had some pear, pomegranate, and pumpkin, and they were all natural with all natural oils and no parabens and things like that. So, you know, if you get a chance to try some of those soaps out, mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really important as far as for your skin's health. You know, in medicine, we give a lot of medications, you know, topicals that, so we know that we're able to get therapeutic doses of chemicals, what we call medicines, through the skin. So why can't you get harmful chemicals from, you know, the soaps that you use? So, you know, if you get a chance, again, go to a veg fest or try out some, you know, plant source soaps. And, you know, speaking of, you know, infections and things, you know, along those lines, it's flu season and it's rampant everywhere. You know, whether it's particularly bad or worse this year, I can't really be certain. It seems like every year we say this is a bad year. And it is bad this time of year, you know, January, February, March, especially here in Florida when we have a lot of traffic and visitors. It is an increased, you know, flu season. And especially for the elderly, it's not so much the flu, but it's the secondary infection with pneumonia afterwards that causes such morbidity and even mortality because it kind of wears you down. And so nutritionally, we forget about that as far as how we can actually prevent ourselves from getting illness and how we can, you know, increase our own immunity to try to avoid these things. Mm-hmm. So the biggest sources, fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, getting that good old vitamin C in, you know, citrus is in season. So, you know, load up on it, eat those oranges, add the lemon peel to your smoothie, or to some of your, you know, grate some into your food. It adds even more antioxidants. You know, I love to add ginger and turmeric to a smoothie in the morning after my run for hydration. Again, a lot of extra antioxidants. We like to make a miso soup with garlic and onion. Obviously, adding onions to the salad is increasing your immunity.
Even the green soup that little Vanna just made tonight, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, so she made a soup with bok choy and leeks. So if you're not an onion fan, you might try leeks because they're, you know, a little less, how would you say? They're a little less potent, I guess,
milder.
They're a little bit more mild, but they still have all those good antioxidants and phytonutrients. So she had some celery and potatoes and peas. So it was a very, very nutritious immunity building soup. And then we had some onion in our salad
and
red cabbage in our salad. So that was, so think about those things that, you know, when you eat, especially this time of year, you're actually, you know, taking your own medicine to improve your defense against these, you know, colds and flus. And obviously wash your hands, but good old soap and water works, you know, just as good and actually better than these gels. I much rather would do a little water in my hands and some soap than the gels and all the chemicals associated with them. And then, you know, when we talk about eating animals, animals are often treated with antibiotics because they're in these terrible conditions in feedlots and they're often sick. The chickens are given arsenic as an antibiotic, but in general, 80% of the antibiotics used in this country are used on factory farm animals. And so when we overuse antibiotics, we select out for a more potent bacteria that is harder to treat and more aggressive. So every time someone takes in milk or animal protein or meat, they're taking in a dose of antibiotics. And so you're decreasing your immunity when you do that. So another reason to, you know, eliminate all animal products and dairy from your diet. The milk products that people consume increase the mucus production. So it decreases your ability to fight off infections. So that's another source. You know, try to get outside as much as you can. Open your windows when you can to, you know, let fresh air in. Going outside and exercising and breathing deep is another good way to, you know, help improve your immunity. So, you know, I don't think that necessarily getting the flu shot, you know, and running to that is, you know, that's certainly not the silver bullet to protect you. We don't, you know, there's certainly a lot of number or a number of flu cases, but we don't know how many of those people actually had a flu shot that wasn't covering the particular strain that they got. And again, it's not necessarily the flu that makes people so ill. It's a secondary infection because their immunity is so poor. There was a study done in Japan looking at gargling salt water. And so if you or a household member has or has a high exposure, then gargling salt water in the evening, just a teaspoon of salt water, salt and some warm water and just gargle and spit that out, does a lot to improve your or decrease your chances of getting an upper respiratory tract infection. So, you know, those are all good things that you can do. And plus, you know, exercise, right? Mm-hmm. Going for a run or getting your heart rate up also improves your immune function.
Sweat'll do ya.
Exactly. Sweat the bad out. And so keep moving. What's your favorite foods to avoid colds and flus?
Definitely push the ginger. Try to get in as many greens as I can. Fruit too. I tend to eat, you know, take out the grains and really just push those fruits and veggies as much as I can around those times, I would think. What about you?
Yeah, I think the fruits are...
really all of mine should be yours because let's face it, you taught me to do all these things since I was like a baby.
Yeah, it's been fun having you here. We go for our run in the morning and take our three German Shepherds and then we come back and make a smoothie with ginger and turmeric and lots of fruits. So
yeah, oftentimes we have come down the steps to get ready to go out the door and we have the exact same running outfit on. So I'm sure that's a funny sight to see running down the road with three German Shepherds. But it's been really great to be back home and I can't wait to be back in March for our conference.
Yes. You know, again, Doug Lyle's going to be joining us and giving a talk on the pleasure trap. Timmery Hagenberger, I believe, is going to be talking about brain health and nutrition. You know, oftentimes people think they can't get heart disease or we can put stents in to avoid it. We have good therapies for cancer, but we don't have good therapies for Alzheimer's and dementia. So the idea is to avoid that completely. So she'll be discussing how nutrition can really decrease your risk of getting dementia or Alzheimer's.
I will be talking about everything that has to do with all your questions on, you know, vitamins, micronutrients, where you're getting them, where you should be getting them. You know, how we have these multivitamins marketed up the wazoo, but how you can actually be getting them in a more absorbable form in your fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, nuts and seeds and beans. So we will be covering how to get your daily dose of vitamins on your plate. So yes. Anything you would like to know about that, I will be covering.
And I'll be talking about your gut microbes and how we can improve our coexistence with the bacteria in our body and select out for those that are going to help us be the best version of ourselves.
Cooking demo to be determined, but it will be delicious and you will learn something new.
Yeah, I think it's got to be fun, you know, so we want to put the fun in it. And it's always a positive day and a positive environment. And I love seeing people's face when they leave the conference that they've had such a great time and been able to meet other people at various stages of their plant-based journey. And so it's just a great positive experience and can't wait. So please go to drdelaney.com and visit our website. There's we have a new video up there talking about it. There's also a link directly to eventbrite.com. Of course, you can go to eventbrite.com to purchase your tickets. Oh, I almost forgot. We have extended the conference to another day. So we have Friday, the whole day of the conference. And Friday, you and Timmery and myself will be doing private consultations. So if you would like to sit down and talk to us about your anything health, wellness, and nutrition, we'd love to be able to sit down with you and spend an hour of your time discussing whatever you like. So get those tickets. They're obviously going to be limited, so get those as soon as possible because they are going away soon, or going away quickly, I should suggest. And we're also going to have two yoga sessions. So if you come in early and you'd like to do a chair yoga or a gentle yoga, we're having the yoga sessions at the Yoga Sanctuary mm-hmm. in Punta Gorda. And they do a marvelous job, and it's a great practice. So enjoy that. There's lots of things to do. It's a nice time of the year in Florida, so we hope to see you there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful time of year, and we are easily found at Eventbrite, as the doc said. If you just go to Eventbrite and search 3rd Annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference, you will see all the information about our event, how to get a ticket, and we look forward to seeing your bright and smiling faces there.
So eat your fruits and vegetables, go out and take a walk, gargle with a little salt water, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.